in front of you. There's also, you can use your phone or your tablet or whatever you would like. Galatians, it's after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So it's Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. So find Galatians. This is a letter that, this letter was not written to one single church. It was written to a group of churches in a region referred to as Galatia. But they were still indigenous, autonomous, local churches. And this letter was being passed about and they're being trained that way. So starting in verse number 13, and yes, I'm going to park here a while in chapter 5 for the next few weeks because there's so much good stuff in here. Look at verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We have freedom in Christ. Amen. We've talked about this. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you now have the ability to be freed from the penalty of our sin. Amen. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, say amen. Amen. You see, you are free from the penalty. You can't go to hell. Nothing you can do can send you to hell. That's already been taken care of, past, present, and future sins. That's how much God loves you. Now, you and I are going to one day be free from the very presence of sin, where we're going to get out of here and we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be in a place where there is no sin, where nobody lies and nobody overeats. There's no gluten-free bread. I mean, there's just all kinds of good stuff in heaven. Can I get an amen? I'm serious now. We're going to be free from the very presence of sin. But right now, while we walk on this planet, we are fighting against the power of sin in our life. Even though we're saved, even though we've got the blood of Christ covering our sin, we're still sinners, right? And we still fight with this all day long because I still live in this sinful body. This body is not going to heaven. It has to be changed. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. That this flesh is that unredeemed part of me. Now, my soul and spirit saved. I'm born again. I'm made alive, born again. It's awesome. But this is going to have to get changed because it's not suitable for eternity in heaven. All right? So verse number 13. We have liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We shouldn't use it as a freebie, a hall pass, a license to just go out and live any way we want to. Even though we're not going to hell, we should not live just any old way, all right? That doesn't bring glory to God. I tell you, we do this with our kids, don't we? They'll be like, well, Daddy, why can't I? What's your last name, boy? And I say, they'll say Mix, and I'll say, that's why. You're my kid. I can't police anybody else's, all right? I can only police mine. And I tell you, I avoided a lot of problems, a lot of mistakes early on. I made a lot, but I avoided a lot of stuff because I was afraid I'd bring shame to my earthly dad. My father, Robert F. Mix, had a great testimony in the neighborhood of a man of honor and honesty, and I didn't want to bring shame to his name. So there was a lot of times I went, no, you guys go ahead. I'm going to. Because if we get caught, I do not want to get brought home by the police like my brother did, okay? And like I said, my mom only raised a couple of fools, and they still live in Illinois, all right? I know. But we now have the freedom by love to serve one another. That's what verse 13 says. Before I trusted Christ as my Savior, it was all about the flesh. It was all about me. It was so. And now that I'm saved, I have the opportunity to make it all about God. It's still a choice. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, one proverb, one sentence, one thought, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. I'm supposed to love my neighbor like I love myself. Look at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. What goes around comes around. I don't have the right to, with liberty, to have the license to just go out and live a sinful way. And I don't have the license to injure other people, to be ugly to other people, to hurt other people. I don't have that. You're going to heaven. Nothing you do is going to keep you from going. True, but God doesn't give me the license to hurt people with my words, with my attitude, with my inaction, right? Okay? So look at verse number 16. This I say then, because of verses 13, 14, and 15, because I don't have a license to sin or a license to injure others, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, what do you mean? Verse 17, for the Here's why. Because the flesh, this unredeemed part of me, lusteth or desires to have control against the Spirit of God. That big S means the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, against the flesh. The Holy Spirit wants to be the one in charge now that I'm saved. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that she cannot do the things that she would. In January 6, 1941, Franklin Delano Roosevelt made a huge speech, and he was giving the country a vision of what post-war America would look like. And he was talking about things that he wanted us to have freedom of and freedom from. In two things, he said, I envision an America that is free, has freedom of speech and freedom to worship. That's what he said. But then he said, I also envision America who has the freedom from want or poverty. That's what they mean. And freedom from fear. And those are good things. And I think, yeah, like never before, we as Americans enjoy huge freedoms. I mean, you realize you go to London right now, our biggest ally across the pond. You cannot talk, you cannot witness without offending somebody and them calling the police. My nephew, a 33-year Marine, retired, went back to visit his in-laws, sitting on the tube in London, and was trying to explain to his wife the difference between Christianity and Islam, and the lady in front of him called what they call the bobby, the cop, because it offended her. Now, if you've been paying attention to Canada, you don't have freedom of speech in Canada either. I mean, are you paying attention? This idiot actor, I can't think of his name, got up and said, well, there's all these countries that have freedom. No, you don't. You don't have the freedom to witness on the streets of Tokyo. You don't have freedom of speech like we have here. You know? And now they're eroding that. Okay, but I ain't here to talk about political stuff. There's another freedom God is offering us. We live in a country with freedom of speech, praise the Lord. We're with freedom to worship, praise the Lord. But there's a fifth freedom that is necessary, and that is the freedom from the tyranny of our own sinful nature. As I said, God gave us freedom from the penalty. We're not going to hell. And one day we'll have the freedom from the very presence because we'll be in heaven. But right now, while we walk on this planet, we actually have available to us the freedom of over the power of sin in our life. See, when Paul left the region of Galatia, he left these little baby churches in place. And there was these guys who came down from Jerusalem who said, no, we're from the church of Jerusalem. And we're here to tell you that you're close to the truth, that if you'll do, yes, trust Jesus as your Savior, but then if you'll do all these other rituals, rites, and ceremonies, then you're really going to heaven first class. Or you're really saved, or you can keep it. Or there's all this Christ plus. And that's what this whole book is written about. This whole book was written from Paul going, no, don't you remember? Why would I have left that if that's what actually kept us safe? Why would I have done that? Why would I allow? Why would I still be persecuted by these monkeys if that was the real way to heaven? And so he says, listen, the legalists of his day thought their idea of freedom was giving more rules and more laws to follow. You cannot legislate righteousness. Amen. And no amount of laws is going to change the human sinful heart. There's no, you can put all the laws you want on the books of America, but it isn't going to change people's behavior because we're all sinners. Amen. It's not the laws on the outside, but the love of God on the inside that makes a difference in a person's life. It's not the laws of governmental control outside, it's the Holy Spirit control on the inside that makes a difference in our life. This kind of freedom requires a different kind of power, and that's the power from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit of God? We're not talking about a divine force or a divine influence. We're talking about a divine purpose. And this concept of freedom over the power of sin in our life was something the Heavenly Father in heaven had planned for us from the very beginning of creation, from the foundation of the world, as the Bible says. But Jesus, this is what the Son of God, Jesus, purchased for us. on Calvary. So many people think when I'm talking about an abundant life, they're thinking, well, yeah, up in the by and by. No, in the nasty now and now, you can have an abundant Christian life. And I'm not talking about throw $100 in the plate, you get $1,000. That's garbage. I'm talking about hope. The definition of hope is that God will do me good and not evil. That's the definition of hope. I have that. So the Father had planned for this, us to have power over the, or have freedom over the power of sin. This is what Jesus purchased for us on Calvary, and this is what the Holy Spirit personalizes for us in our daily walk, our daily life. But you ask yourself, you know, why do I have these habits like I do? And why do I struggle with these habits even though I know they're wrong and I'm a Christian? And why haven't I changed? And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, when is that going to happen? When do I become the new creature? Well, I want to talk to you about that tonight. Freedom is available. What are those habits in your life? Don't raise your hand. Just what are those habits? What are those persistent habits? Maybe you wouldn't call it an addiction. That's fine. But even if you have an addiction, God is offering us freedom. Well, persistent habits, anger, frustration, bitterness, lying, whatever it is that you find yourself defaulting to, God offers us freedom from it. But there's a difference between the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and the filling of the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit. Now, if you want to follow along with me, you can follow along as I change chapters here, but Phil will have it on the screen too. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 teaches us that the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, you understand what that means? I realized I was a sinner. I couldn't get to heaven on my own good works. So I turned to God and admitted I was a sinner and told him, I believe your son died for me and rose again. Please forgive me. And on that day, I trusted him as my Savior. At that moment, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence inside my spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians is just before Galatians. So go toward the front, just a couple of pages, and you'll find number 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Look what it says. What? He's like, hey, wait a minute. Are you with me? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. Amen. For ye are bought with a price. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. What was that? The blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Because you're bought with a price, because you belong to God, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And now it's really cool. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence inside us. That's that voice that tells us to do right rather than wrong. It's that voice inside us says, are you sure about that? Maybe you ought to talk to the Father about that, you know? Yeah, I need you to understand, this is what happens. And the moment you trust in Christ as your Savior, He seals you. He puts the mark of God on you that nobody else can have you. That's in Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God put His mark on you, and you cannot be taken from Him. That is so awesome. You belong to God, now you're God's kid. Think of it as a down payment on heaven. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1 in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what earnest money is, right? You go to buy a house, you got to put a down payment on it. When the Holy Spirit of God came and took up residence inside you at the moment you were saved, and if you're not sure you're saved, I'd be privileged to have an opportunity just to show you. It'd be an honor for me to show you how to know Christ as your Savior, and you can't lose it. I'd love to show it to you. But think of it as a down payment on heaven, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, where it's like layaway. You've been on layaway. God put down the deposits and you're His. And so He also reproves us and convinces us of sin. That's John 16. The Holy Spirit also leads us and guides us into all truth. John 16, 13. He shows us what's coming, things to come in our future. John 16 and verse 13. And He glorifies Christ. John 16 and verse 14. So anything that doesn't glorify Christ, thoughts, words, actions, they didn't come from the Holy Spirit. You heard me talk about that. There's stuff comes in our head. The devil, the devil's playground, that's the battlefield. It's now that you're born again, he can't have you. But he can mess with you. And he can. He can put thoughts in your head that and Christians get depressed. Christians get discouraged. It happens. It's real. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is not just the indwelling. It's when we let him have all of us. You know, I've been privileged to visit in some of your homes. And even though I got to visit in some of your homes, I didn't get to see all of it, right? I got access to the front door, the foyer, maybe the kitchen, because we're kitchen people, and the living room. But you didn't let me see the junk drawer, and you didn't let me see the closet in your kids' room, and you didn't let me see that extra bedroom that's packed to the gills because you don't have a garage, and you moved here with all this stuff thinking maybe we'll get a garage, and I didn't get to see that. See, when the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you, you got all of him, but he didn't get all of you. You got all of him, but he did not get all of you. And tonight during prayer time, I didn't want to get real tough, touchy about it, but maybe God brought up some stuff in your life that there's some areas of your life you got the door locked, and you don't care if he ever finds the key, and you just kind of, he's checking the handle, and you're like, no, you don't need to see what's behind door number two, right? Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. But in contrast, instead of being controlled by alcohol, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever met a drunk? They don't think they know. They don't think that you know they're wasted. Right? Right? They don't think they're impaired in some way. Oh, I'm fine. Wait, what's the big deal? I ain't hurting nobody. Well, I'm fine. And you're like, oh, my soul, don't let that kid get behind the wheel. You know, the state governments have labeled it driving under the influence. Have you ever wondered why they call alcohol spirits? Wine and spirits. Because when they're on alcohol, like when I call it liquid stupid, when people are on liquid stupid, it's like they're possessed. They're not themselves anymore. That real you, that your spirit, your body, soul, and spirit, the real you is fighting for control over the other spirit we've referred to as alcohol. Now, to experience the change we are looking for in our life, to have the freedom God's offered us, we need to let the Holy Spirit of God be in charge. Now, step one, you got to be saved. You got to know the Lord as your Savior. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember how you got saved? This is important to know, because Jesus likens it to childbirth. You know, and you moms that gave birth, you remember right where you were when that baby came, right? And there's no fuzzy questions in your mind. I was there. I remember. You need to know you're saved like that. But in like manner, we're not experiencing victory in our lives that we're desperately seeking because the Holy Spirit of God has not got control. We're not letting him have control. See, number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to believe God knows what's best for you. I mean, that's crucial. A lot of people don't know God very well, so they don't trust God because they don't know him. Kind of like you won't loan your car to somebody you don't know very well. Since you don't know them very well, you don't know their character, you really can't trust them. You don't have confidence in their ability to take care of your stuff. And so it's the same thing with God. A lot of times when we don't know him very well, we have a hard time having any confidence in his character that he knows what's best and he wants what's best. It's like we're afraid the Lord's going to play with us like a toy and get tired and throw us away. And that's not how God is. To be filled with the Spirit, to surrender our lives to him, to be in charge. The thing, to have victory, that's what it takes. Well, how do I do that? Number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to trust that God knows what's best and God wants what's best. You know, my kids have always asked me for crazy things sometimes. And you all should praise the Lord. I've not given in and given them the things they've wanted. Have you ever thought about that? If your kids ask you for some crazy stuff, I want a choo-choo train, like a really big one that runs on tracks and I could ride on. Where are we going to put it? Aren't you glad you didn't answer that prayer? Aren't you glad God didn't answer his prayer and gave him a choo-choo train that would take, it could go around the block? Aren't you glad God didn't give your answer every kid's prayer? See, we have a choice. The Bible says, look at verse 17 in Galatians 5. The flesh, this unredeemed part of me, this sinful part of me, lustus or desires to have control, and it's fighting against the Spirit. Big S in the Bible means the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is fighting against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Does anybody in here have regrets? Right? Who was in charge that day? Was that the Spirit of God? Or was that you? Well, my buddy was driving. Yeah, but you had a chance to get out. So was it you in charge or was it the Holy Spirit? And if you and I will be honest, it wasn't the Holy Spirit in charge. It was me. But had I let him be in charge, I wouldn't have had those regrets. See, we have a choice now to walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. Now look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us all also walk in the Spirit. Now in the Old English King James Bible, the word walk means your daily life. You know, you and I live a series of choices from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. We're going to eat at McDonald's. We're going to get coffee at Dunkin'. We're going to get coffee at the office. We're going to get coffee here. We're going to make tea here. We're going to do this. It's a series of choices. Am I wearing this? Am I wearing that? Am I going to call this person? Am I not going to call this person? Am I going to? And it's a series of choices that we make. And every choice creates a tapestry of life every single day. You know, I called my boys the other day and I said, how's it going? Oh, it's the same old. I said, what do you mean by that? I eat, I sleep, and I work. I eat, I sleep, and I work. Repeat. I eat, I sleep, and I work. I repeat. Yeah, but in that process of the day, we make choices. And the question is it us in charge or is it the Holy Spirit leading us to make these choices? We letting him. So how do I have victory over the flesh? Go to Romans chapter 12. Number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to believe that God is He knows what's best and wants what's best. And number three, we have to surrender. See, we don't like the word surrender. See, we used to wrestle as kids. I've told you this story. But for you new folks, you know what wrestling is? It's when you mess around with your brother or your friend out in the yard and you're trying to see who's going to be dominant. Who's going to make the other person yield? Isn't that how we play? We get them in a headlock for them to tap out. Right? And the Holy Spirit and your flesh are wrestling for control. And the one you surrender to gets to be in charge. If you get to surrender to your flesh and say, yeah, go ahead, I'll do the things this wants, or I surrender to the Holy Spirit and do what he wants. The one you yield to is the one who's in charge. See, you actually get to choose day by day, moment by moment, who's in charge. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you. That means I'm begging you, brethren. He's talking to saved people. By the mercies of God, because God has saved your soul, I beg you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you step up and go, here I am, Lord. Amen. We call that cowboy up. Stand up and identify yourself. Here I am, Lord. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Because yes, to give up, to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll let you choose. You're sacrificing your will. You're saying no to self. Holy. Present your bodies holy. Look, you and I know where we've got problems. Right? And you're hoping the person next to you don't know there. Right? But they do. And if you're sitting by yourself, you're thinking to yourself, very fortunate that they're not thinking about my mistakes. We know the areas of our life where we've messed up and we are a mess. We know those areas. But we still have a choice what we're going to do about it. We still have a choice. So we present, we surrender to the Holy Spirit, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. We owe it to him because we're not going to hell anymore. You understand, anything short of splitting hell wide open is God's goodness, because we don't deserve it. Thank God he loved us and said, I don't want you to go to hell. Here you go. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. From the inside out, letting the Holy Spirit use the Word of God to make this mess up here between our ears good and clean and to work it out by renewing our mind. Why? So that we can prove, that ye may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, in the Old Testament, they had this huge brazen altar. It was massive. It was a big box with these horns on either end. And it had like a, you know, like chain link metal hung on four rings. And they would put the wood up there and the sacrifice up there. And they'd light it on fire so that the sweet smell and the smoke went up and God would see it and put off their sin. And as things would burn, it would fall through the bottom of the altar on the ground. But the problem is the specific gravity of the materials would shift as it burned and it would roll. So they would take two gigantic hooks, one on one corner over a horn with a hook like that, and another one on the other side with this hook, and they'd sink it into the meat of that offering so that even if things started to try to move, it couldn't move. It was held in place. And those two things, our dependence. One of those big hooks is dependence. Recognizing you and I can't live the Christian life without God. We can't have God be an afterthought. God is not something you trick your life out with, okay? God is not an accessory or an upgrade. God becomes your life. Total dependence. We say to ourselves, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yeah, but what you really need to say is, I can't do anything without Christ who strengthens me. Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth is connected and drawing its strength from me. I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Einstein said insanity was doing the same thing day after day over and over again and expecting different results. Have you ever noticed that God allows us sometimes to do it on our own because we're not interested in him doing it for us? God will let us. God, it's like God, my preacher used to say it all the time, help yourself. That's what he'd say. Do it your way. Go on. I'll be here when you're done. Unfortunately, you and I have known people who died before they hit bottom. They've died before they hit bottom. If you've ever hit bottom, you can count yourself fortunate that God allowed you to still be alive. Because God will allow us to hit bottom to get our attention that what we're doing day after day after day after day after day ain't working. If you don't have the life you want right now, it ain't God's fault. It's ours. Boy, got quiet in here. If I don't have the marriage I want, it's not God's fault. It's because I ain't putting in the effort. If I don't have a disciplined life physically, now I understand illnesses come. I get that. But you know, this midsection here, I can't sue, you know, Hershey's and Pepsi for this, okay? Snickers and Mountain Dew, you know, did not force themselves upon me. That's my fault. And that's the thing. God will let us hit bottom to get our attention. Do you remember the prodigal son? Oh, we all know about the story of the prodigal son, but we forget so many times. It's really a story about a loving father who was there to accept us after we got tired of doing it by myself and doing it my way. That's really what the story's about. Was the loving father who was there to take him in and say, okay, now that you've done it your way, how about we do it my way? Because we always end up empty when we do it ours, our way. Me, and I'm constantly doing it. Look, God, I know what I'm doing. Phyllis Diller said, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Because God says, help yourself. Go ahead. Go help. I'll let you do it your way. We have to come to the end of ourselves to the moment where we all look up and say, okay, God, I need you. I'm done doing it my way. I'm done. I need to do it your way. You know, that's why a DUI can be a good thing. Because sometimes you won't listen to God, but you'll listen to a man with a badge saying you're impaired, you're under wrong influence, and your life's in danger. I call those wake-up calls. And it can't be done under your own power. If we walk in the Spirit, if we surrender to the Spirit of God, number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to believe God knows what's best and wants what's best. And number three, you've got to let God be in charge. Now, we know what God thinks because he gave us his word. And this word has power, and this word renews our mind. This word straightens our thoughts out. This word lifts us up and inspires our soul. That's what this book does. It heals our wounds. It gives us the power to forgive and the power to have the fruits of the Spirit, because you can't do it without it. Have you ever just stepped up and said, okay, God, show me what you can do. I'll do it your way. Show me what you can do with my life if I let you have it. We make the mistake of relying on our own wisdom. And God refuses to do anything for us that we are content to do in our own power. I said it slowly on purpose. God is content to let you do whatever it is you want to do if you're wanting to do it under your own power. But if you'll drop that mess and go here, watch what God does. But it takes total surrender. It says in Galatians 2:20, we're to die to self. In Galatians 5, where we are right now, go back to Galatians 5 and verse 24. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ's, if you belong to Christ, say amen, amen, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, have said no to our flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have to crucify the flesh. That's what it says. We got to bring it into captivity. You know, I'm talking about those habits. I'm talking about those pet sins we think nobody else knows about that are kind of hidden, but they're not really hidden because God knows. Don't play the rights game. Don't sit back and go, well, I have rights. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell. Amen. Number two, you've got to accept his leadership. When the Bible says, Jesus said in John 16, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He'll correct you where you're wrong. And he'll show you what's righteous and what's just. That's what he's saying, of righteousness and judgment. But there are some things in your life, I call them roadblocks. There are things in your life that we allow to keep us from having victory. You know, my friends that have gotten victory over drugs have said to me they had to break off some relationships. People who enabled them. They had to stop being around people who were negative and toxic. Because when you're angry and frustrated, it's a trigger to go back to it. God wants you to have victory, but there are some things in your life that you're going to have to probably pull out that are keeping you from having victory. You know what those things are. I don't know what they are because everyone's different. But God is willing to work his victory in you. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of his sheep through the blood of his everlasting covenant. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You know, every one of us in here has a purpose. Every one of us in here has a purpose, and God has a plan for you to fulfill that purpose. But he's not going to make you. Now, he'll make us over if we let him. But he's not going to make us. So a true victorious Christian living is not going to happen outside of God as the center of our life. Every good gift, every perfect gift. That's what it says in James chapter 1, cometh down from the Father of lights. So we have a choice. Like I said, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit by turning over control to him, and we can walk in the Spirit moment by moment by listening to him. That was the exercise tonight during the prayer time. Did God bring up some things that you had to talk to him about? You know, if you're listening through the day, he'll bring up things. And he'll say, turn left instead of right. Choose this instead of that. Listen instead of talk. And he'll talk to you. He'll say those things to you. Because he wants to practice guiding your life. Like you train your kids, he wants to train us. And that's moment by moment. And if you have ever stepped out of line like I have, the only way to get back in is to admit it and say, I'm sorry. I'm here. Guide me. Direct me. I apologize. Because you cannot break your relationship, but you can break your fellowship. Like a parent and a child, I always love you, but I don't always like you. Right? Have you ever thought that way about your kid? Huh? Or kids, plural? God says the same thing. I love you. I'll always love you. But right now, you and I aren't getting along. And the problem's not with me. The problem's on the other end. So let me ask you a question tonight. Are you experiencing the abundant Christian life? Are you experiencing the victory in all areas of your life? Well, I can say no because I know me. Well, why is that? Because I need to turn over control in that area. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. It is so good to have you here tonight. This is what we call the invitation time of the service. Tonight, maybe the Holy Spirit has said something to you about things that we've talked about tonight. And God would like to have a discussion with you personally. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to pray. But tonight, if you died and you're not sure heaven's your home, you can't remember how all this worked out, then let's put a stake in the ground and say, yes, I remember, and tonight, and pray and receive Christ. But I believe most of the people I'm looking at tonight are saved. Does God have charge in every area? Is God in control, or are we? Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and I'm thankful that you offer to take charge, that you're willing to take over control if we'll let you, and that you will guide us into that abundant Christian life, that life full of joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and goodness and meekness and temperance and all the things that you promise we'll have if we'll surrender to you. But tonight, Father, in the areas where we hold out, I pray, God, you would touch them and open them and show them to us. Forgive us of our sin and cleanse us, God. And as we turn over control, Father, may you glorify yourself in us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar is open. If you want to come up and pray and talk to the Lord, if you want somebody to pray with you, I'm here. I'm here tonight. I'll pray with you. Or you can pray right where you are. But won't you let God talk to you tonight as well?
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Sing that as well. We need him. We can't do it without him. And he so graciously, lovingly wants us to do it with him.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace
as these pray,
is found,
won't you?
Is where you are.
God, it's me.
And where you
God, here's an area that I've not let you have, and I'm sorry.
Lord, I
please,
am free.
God, take charge.
Holiness.
Use me for your glory.
Is Christ in me? Where you are, Lord, is Christ in me, Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we are thankful, God, for all that you're doing. Thank you for the message in your word tonight that we can have victory. This promise that has been in the scriptures for almost 2,000 years, God, that victory is available. Let us tonight surrender to it by surrendering our life to you. And let us do it throughout our day, anew and afresh, each moment, walking in the guidance of your Spirit, that you may glorify yourself, that others will see what is that perfect will of God for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way.